Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good evening, Facebook, YouTube, and Amazing Grace family. I want to thank and praise God for another evening of our midweek Bible study here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. I truly believe that God has a word for us, and I just want to thank and praise God for His goodness and His grace that He has allowed us to come together in the unity of the faith this evening. And so I'm excited about this evening's message, and I know that God has a word for each and every one of us. And so if you're ready, are you ready to go with me in the Word of God? Do you have your Bibles, maybe a cup of coffee ready to go? Well, first allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, Help Me to Be a Witness. Jesus, Help Me to Be a Witness. And so if you're there and you have Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, let's go there. And it reads, You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Saints of God, this message that God has given me, I truly believe this message is relevant for today. And I believe that what God is looking for in the times that we live in is that we would rise up as the church to be a witness to this unbelieving world. You see, we look back in the pages of Scripture, and we go into the Old Testament, and we see that there was godly men and women that stood for their faith, that stood for righteousness. And one that comes to mind, and we're going to focus on this one gentleman, this one saint of God, was Noah. Noah. And the Bible says that when Jesus is about to return, He said it would be like the days of Noah. And so, look up here on the screen, right up here. If there was one story in the Bible most people know, it's one about Noah and the ark. And guess what? It's even in children's books that are written about it. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of slides here of how even children know about Noah. But as we get into this message, we're going to see how profound how it was back in the days of Noah and how it parallels to our society today. And so let's look at this. You probably have one of these books in your children's library. You know, how cute, all the animals on the ark. And as we go to this next clip, you probably have seen that as well. And in Tennessee, they actually built a full-scale Noah's Ark. And you can go and visit this. And I remember that we wanted to go as a group, our church, to visit it. Well, one day when they allow us to go back into society again, maybe we will. And here's one more shot right here, is when they had an opening ceremony day for this. And this is a full-scale of Noah's Ark. Now, hear me, saints of God. To understand the real message regarding this event, regarding the flood that took place in Noah's day, we need to look a little deeper into the scriptural account. You see, saints of God, in Noah's story, there's a message of hope and assurance. But there's also a warning because it demonstrates that God hates evil. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. And the Word of God reads, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." Verse 7. "So that the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah," say that with me, "but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That is so key, saints of God, that Noah walked with God. Verse 10. "And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." Verse 13. And it reads, and God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Saints of God, as we look at close to 5,000 years ago, nothing's changed. Our world that we live in today is violent, filled with sexual immorality. The things that Jesus said we would see before he returns, he said it would be like the days of Noah. And my friends, I'm here to let you know, we are at this time that he spoke about. Now, we need to take a closer look at the life of Noah. Why? Because God is calling the church to be a type of Noah, a watchman on the wall that would warn those of impending danger. Now, we all know in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said that in the last days, these signs shall be. What are the signs? Well, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places, pestilence. We're seeing pestilence, rising against nation. We're seeing what Jesus said that we would see before he returns. But I want us to focus on Noah this evening. Let's look at Noah. We're going to look at the character of Noah. The character of Noah. And so, saints, there are numerous servants of God mentioned in the Bible, but only two of them have said to have walked with God. How many of you know who that second person is? Well, it's Enoch and Noah. Further descriptions of Noah say he was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Look what it says here in Genesis. In Genesis 6:9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was what? A just man. Perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. My question tonight is, are you walking with God? Are you listening with God? Are you having fellowship with God? God is looking for that intimacy with his church for such a time as this. As the world is falling apart and we're seeing all these things, the calamities, the COVID-19. My question tonight is, are you walking with God? Are you listening to God? See, God has our attention now. So this is the time that we don't waste the time, that we take advantage of this time to be in close fellowship. One of the things that Noah did is he believed God by faith. And all the people of the earth in that day, only Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Can you honestly say tonight that God has found favor in you? Well, Genesis 6:8, look what it says here in Genesis 6:8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of God." You see, Noah, he was a remarkable man in his time. But he's also someone we should aspire to be like him today. Saints, Jesus said right before he returns, it would be just like the days of Noah. Okay, preacher, what does that say? Well, it says right here in the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew 24. I quoted that earlier, but let's read it. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were what? Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man being. My friends, I'm here to let you know that we are the generation that will see the Lord. That's right. We're seeing all the signs. We're in the midst of a pestilence right now. Hundreds of thousands of people are dying by this COVID. The last time I brought a message last week, there was only, I believe, 16,000 people that had perished in our nation. Now there's over 25,000. Is that a sign to us? Is that a sign to say, man, we need to take heed to the times that we live in? I believe God is shaking everything that will be shooken. And right now, things are being shaken all over the place. I know that God is doing a sifting right now. It's a reset. And God is saying, take heed. Know that the times that you live in, for he is about to return. Praise God. So, saints of God, we need to take a look back, and we need to look in the world in Noah's day. We need to look in Noah's day. And so, as we go to Genesis chapter 6, let's go there right now. Let's go on the screen right here. It says, Genesis 6 and 5, says, then the Lord saw what? That the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Saints of God, nothing has changed in 5,000 years. Everything right now that we see in our culture, in the laws that have been eradicated by left extremists, I'm here to let you know that we are now living in those days that Jesus prophesied. We are in the days of Noah. Oh, yes. Right now, my friends, that there are over 60 million babies aborted in our nation, and it's counting. I've heard it said like this, that if you were to take every ounce of blood from the aborted babies, it would fill one of the lakes in Michigan. My goodness. I truly believe that God is going to send a judgment so harsh unless we repent. And guess what? The Bible says that judgment starts in the house of God. We need to clean up our act in the church. Why? Because the culture, the world, needs to see a difference. They need to see someone rise up with righteousness to walk straight up before God. And Noah was a perfect example. So was Enoch. And this is why God has given me this message, to give you hope, to give you an opportunity to walk before God uprightly. And the way that takes place is you need an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be in your word. You need to be in fellowship with God. Right now, we have no other excuse. All of our busy schedule has come to a halt. And now God is saying, hey, look unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. And so in Noah's days, it was wicked. God said that he was grieved in his heart. Look at verse 13 in Genesis chapter 6. It says, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. What? And he did that. God said enough was enough. Now, we don't know where that line that God draws. But why would you want to play Russian roulette with your life? See, saints of God, I'm here just to say this. If we don't get right with God, we'll get left behind. That's the bottom line. See, God is holy, he's righteous, and he's just. And so, saints, after creating the earth and all the plants and animals along with Adam and Eve, we saw that in Genesis 1:31, he said God saw that all he had made, and behold, it was very good. But what happened here? What happened? You see, saints of God, yet by the time Noah lived, conditions had all come so bad that God was so sorry that he had made man. You see, Jeremiah talks about our heart. You know, I've heard many people say, yeah, I'm a good man, I'm a good person, and I do good. But God said in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is wicked, above all, desperately wicked. We can't even trust our own heart. This is why we need to have God's Spirit in us. We need to be born from above. We need to walk in his ways. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, let's look at this. What had happened back then? What happened? Well, as we focus on this, the answer is sin. Sin. You see, saints of God, when sin entered in the world through Adam and Eve, everything changed and is still having its effect today. We are living in a time when society is becoming increasingly like Noah's day, as I just mentioned. And just as he remained righteous and blameless, walking with God, we should aspire to do what he did. And he did it very well. And what I mean very well is he was obedient to God. He was obedient to God. So let's look at Noah's assignment from God. God was giving him an assignment. So, saints of God, I'm here to let you know that we, as the Church of the Living God, God has given us an assignment. And what's that assignment? It's to walk rightly before him. It's to walk in holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. So Noah's assignment was from God. Let's turn to Genesis 6 and 13. Look what it says. It says, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them on the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. And so now God challenged Noah to obey his voice and to make an ark. Now, it hadn't rained for hundreds of years. And just imagine, people that knew Noah, and now he's building an ark, and they're saying, where is the rain? And what is it going to float on? And so you can imagine, they mocked him, they ridiculed him. It's no different today, as you walk uprightly before God, as God has sanctified you, filled you with the Holy Spirit, and now you're walking and choosing to live a godly life, you will be mocked, you will be ridiculed. Well, that's what they did in Noah's day, no differently. I'm here to let you know, saints of God, nothing has changed, only the years. The years will change, but the conditions and the culture will not change. Why? Because we live in a sinful world. It's fallen, and this is why Jesus had to come to save us from our sin. So, saints, in a world where rain had never fallen and plants were watered by mist that arose from the ground, this must have seemed like a very strange instruction. It probably baffled him. But with Noah, he obeyed. He obeyed. He obeyed God. Furthermore, Noah may not have had any building experience. I'm sure he hasn't. But when God gives someone a task to complete, he always supplies whatever's needed. Praise God. So, what did God ask him to build? He asked him to build an ark. An ark. An ark of safety. And so the Lord told Noah exactly how to build this ark. It was to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high with three floors. It was shaped like a shoebox. 1.5 football fields long with about 100,000 square feet of space inside of this thing. You see, saints of God, God knew exactly how big it should be, what material to use, how to build it, how much food was needed, and how many animals would be in it. The ark had one door which God controlled and one window which Noah could control. And there was no rudder, praise God, because God was steering the boat. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Or wheel, because the Lord was the guide. He was the guide. It had no engine or sail. and it didn't look impressive or beautiful because its purpose was simply to preserve the lives of Noah, his family, and all the animals. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, let's look at this. This was basically the diagram, and this is just a sample of what this ark looked like. It was three stories high. It had compartments. And there was really no beauty to it. It looked just like a giant tree floating in the water. Here's another one, a closer look on the inside. Now, this scale came from the one that they built in Tennessee, where everyone can go and visit this place, hopefully when we're allowed to fly on planes again. And so, he built this boat. Why? Because God said, there's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. Saints, 1 week before the flood, God told Noah and his family to enter into the ark. And he sent the animals and birds of every species into the ark as well. Then after 7 days, God shut the door and it started to rain. Oh my gosh. Just imagine what the neighbors and the town folks and the city and all those around that day were probably freaking out after he went in and the door was shut and now it started to rain. Wow. Then after 7 days, God shut the door and it started to rain. It rained for 40 days and nights and the fountains of the deep were opened. And the water rose and covered all the mountains and prevailed over the earth for 150 days before it began to recede. You see, saints of God, the Bible doesn't record what Noah and his family experienced during this time. But we can imagine what it must have been like to hear the first raindrops and perhaps the people knocking on the door to get in. Just imagine. God warned the people for over 100 years that God was going to, Noah warned the people that God was going to flood the earth. And just imagine the mocking. Just imagine the ridiculing. Just imagine how they just mimicked him and they just bashed him with their mouth. It's no different today. When you share the love of Jesus, when you witness to others and others will, yeah, well, that was good for you. I'm glad you got saved. But I don't need that Jesus. And the culture who has removed God out of its society. They removed the Ten Commandments from the courthouses. They removed saying Merry Christmas, now it's Happy Holiday. You see, things have changed. But God said in his word that he will come back again. And so the day that we live in, Jesus is the ark now. And God is saying, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me and I will give you rest. God is saying, enter into the ark before the door closes. Because in the days of Noah, this is probably what it looked like. Let's focus on this shot right here. Look at this. Just imagine when the floods came. Look at that. They were probably clawing at that door and they couldn't get in. They couldn't get in no more. And just a lot of them were perishing left and right. I'm here to let you know that this is your opportunity to get right with God. This is your opportunity to be saved. This is your opportunity, my friend, that Christ is the ark now. He said, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Look at this. Look at this next clip right here as we focus in on this. Just imagine people were hanging on top of mountains before they had to let go. Because the Bible says that the waters came from above and came from beneath and it flooded the whole earth. Everything alive had to die. But yet Noah and his family, which were eight of them, were saved through the water. That's like a type of baptism. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Saints, everyone that Noah had known before was going to die. And the earth they knew would be devastated and forever changed. This was not a pleasant boat ride. I hope you know that. But a rescue from God's judgment on the world. This was actually a rescue. And they didn't take heed to the rescue. Jesus is saying, take his ark. Take his salvation. Because he has come to rescue us from our sin. Eventually, the ark landed on a mountain, saints of God. Several months later, the mountaintops became visible. And after 40 more days, Noah opened the window and sent out a raven, which never returned. Then he sent out a dove, but it returned to him because the water still covered the surface of the earth. And then 7 days later, he sent out another dove, and it returned an olive leaf in its bill. So Noah knew. He knew that there was now dry land. And after being enclosed for 365 days, just imagine, in a boat for that many days, the Lord told Noah it was time to leave the ark. And so we come to a new start. A new start. Let me just say this. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you a new start. That's right. I don't care what you've committed. I don't care what you said. I don't care what you've stolen. I don't care what you ever did in your life. But the moment you come to Jesus by faith and you repent of your sins and you ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you, He will make you all brand new and He will give you a new start. That's right. You see, God had to start things all over. And right now, how ironic that you and I, who are confined to our living rooms, He has pressed the restart button. My goodness. I believe He's trying to get our attention, to get our priorities right. I know families that all they did was on Sundays, some of them would just take their kids and sign them up and playing football, basketball, and all kinds of sports, and say, well, you know what? The league is only playing on Sunday. Well, you know what? That was designed by these people that don't have a heart for God. And they lured your kids in. My goodness, that's our Sabbath day. And many have jeopardized that. They forgot about that. Well, guess what? God has restarted the button. God is saying, get right now. Get right with me now. Because I'm about to return. God is faithful. God is faithful to His word. God is faithful to the things that He said that He would do right before He returns, my friends. This is the time, saints of God, that we would get right before Him. I know this message is probably not a popular message. I know there's millions of internet messages going around the world, and some of them are well-intended. But I'm here to let you know what this message, I hope, gets to the heart of the matter. And the Word of God says that God's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to go down into the bone and marrow. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to let you know that God loves you, and He's wanting your life to be right before Him before He returns. My goodness. So from the time that God told Noah to build the ark and throughout his time inside the ark, Noah kept trusting and obeying the Lord. Are you trusting and obeying the Lord that we're inside our homes right now and we can't basically go back to society? Now his walk of faith would continue as he and his family began living in a strange world. The first thing he did was build an altar, praise God, and offer sacrifices and worship. He worshiped the Lord who had brought them safely through the flood. My friends, I'm here to let you know for 31 years that I've been walking with Christ by His grace and by His mercy. My goodness, every day I wake up and I worship the Lord. I thank Him for every day. Because I look back to the world that I came from. I look back on the world that He flooded in my life so that He would bring me to a new place. And this is what He wants to do for you. He wants to bring you to a new place with Him. He wants to fill your life with joy unspeakable. He wants to heal you, your soul that's been damaged for years, all the heartbreak and the people that have hurt you. God wants to heal the inner man and to bless you and to help you. He wants to give you a new start. Thank you, God. And so the first thing He did was built an altar. Look what it says here in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah built what? He built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered it burnt offerings on the altar. It's almost like he already knew what he had to do. Saints of God, we who are born again, filled with His Spirit, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, we need to have a daily devotion and praise and worship and adoration for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to glorify Him and to prophesy who He is in your life. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Then God established a covenant with mankind and every living creature on earth. He promised that the earth would never be destroyed by water again. As a sign of the covenant, He set His rainbow in the sky. Now, let me just say this before we go to our next scripture. Our society today has perverted the rainbow. And you can just cruise down in our little town of Hillcrest and see a big, giant rainbow flag. And it's as big as a whole block. And they're flaunting it before God. And they're doing this to God. And they're mocking God. God said, I will not destroy the earth with water again. And these people who are perverted in their heart has perverted the things of God. Now, let's look at Genesis 9 and 11 right here. And God says, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Look at verse 13 here. And I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. But my friends, today it's mocked, it's ridiculed, and it's perverted now. If you drive throughout all of Hillcrest and many cities like that in our nation, it's been perverted. But let me just say this. Before the wrath of God comes on this earth, God is going to remove the church. Thank you, God. That's right. God's going to remove us out, and then He's going to have to pour out His wrath. Wrath upon people that have perverted the things that God has said is holy and righteous. So let's go on to move on right here, and let's look at Noah's example. Noah's life, it's an inspiration and an example that we should all follow, saints of God. He was a righteous, blameless, obedient servant of God in an ungodly society. He believed that God said what did he was told to do, even though he never seen rain or built a boat, but yet he obeyed. And Noah trusted the Lord to protect and provide for them in the ark and afterwards when he and his family had to start all over again. You see, God is gracious, God is merciful, God is righteous, and He loves you. He wants to have a new beginning with you. And all you have to do is repent of your sins. All you have to do is cry out, say, oh God, forgive me, I have sinned. Look what Hebrews, the New Testament writer, said. Paul, who wrote Hebrews, I believe he wrote it. It says this, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Did you catch that, saints of God? I need you to look at this scripture real quickly before we turn away from it. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Saints of God, those of you that are saved, those of you that know God's word, Jesus said to us, we are to go out in the Great Commission and tell people that He's about to return, that their hearts need to turn back to God, and we should have godly fear, and we should walk by faith like Noah did. We are called to be the watchmen of the wall. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be a witness. That's our job, saints of God. Oh, yes, I love church, and I love to come and worship. Some run and clap and shout. That's all great. That's all that has its place. But what God called us is to be ambassadors, to be witnesses, to tell others to turn and to repent and turn back to God. You know, there's all kinds of wonderful teachings out in the world right now, and a lot of it's prosperity gospel. But guess what? You can gain the whole world but lose your soul. That's what God said in His Word. I don't care about building a kingdom here on earth. My own desire is that God has went away to prepare a place for me. And He's gone to prepare a place for you. Why? Because this is not our home. This place is passing by. The Bible says we're pilgrims passing through. And so, by faith, Noah believed God. By faith, you need to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe God's word. Can I get an amen? So now, let's look at this. How do you suppose what the reaction will be when Jesus comes back again? Huh? Well, Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. In 2,000 years, the only thing that has changed is souls are still being won to God. For the past 2,000 years, God has poured out His Spirit. Why? Because we are in the latter rain. This is where God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And people are being saved left and right across the world, across the globe. But look what Peter said, that no differently how they mocked Noah, they're mocking today. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at this. And it reads, look at this. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in which both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at this in verse 3. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days. Say that with me. That scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. This is what we're seeing today. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So they're all saying right now, oh yeah, right, He's coming. Look what the Word of God says in verse 5. For this they willfully forget, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Look at verse 6 here. In verse 6, by which the world that then existed perished. That world of Noah's day perished. What? Being flooded with water. Oh, but my friends, look what's going to take place. It won't be by water the next time God judges. Let's keep reading. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9 right here, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, and some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Say that with me. God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, let me just pause there. Let's keep the Word of God right here on the screen like this. But let me just say this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But the earth and its works are in it will all be burned up. My goodness. This is what God said what will take place. And God's going to take the church out of the way. But notice He says He's coming as a thief in the night. Well, if we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, He's not talking about the church. The church knows He's coming. If you're living right before God, you're living holy, and you're looking at the signs that are taking place, and you know that Jesus is about to come, He's not coming as a thief to you, but to this culture, to this world that has forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes back, it'll be a thief in the night to them. Can I get an amen in the house? Oh, yes. Let's go to verse 11 here. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be to live holy, a holy conduct in godliness? Look at verse 12. looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Why? Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. God's going to dissolve this whole place. He's going to do a renovation. Look at this. Nevertheless, we according to His promise. Say that with me, saints of God. To His promise. We look for a new heaven and a new earth, which righteousness dwells. I can't wait. That's right. I can't wait. I can't wait till I'm delivered from this body of flesh. This body of flesh doesn't want to do anything that God wants to do. It's by His Spirit and by His power that He has quickened us. He has filled us with His promises, and we are empowered by God now. And so it is Him that does His will and pleasure in us. So, saints of God, in the same way, we too can believe whatever God says and trust Him to direct our lives and provide for us all of our needs as we obediently do whatever He says. And just a few questions before we close here. Let's look at number one. Have you ever felt that God required you to do something that seemed unreasonable or beyond your abilities? You see, my friends of God, the Bible says that His yoke is light, His burdens are light, and His yoke is easy. God will save you right where you're at. No, you don't have to go to school and learn and become a theologian. No, God is saying right where you're at, give your heart to Him. Let Him raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Look at number two. If you followed Noah's example, how would you respond? Would you believe God? Would you walk in faith? Would you believe God like Noah did? Now, Noah didn't have the Word of God to read. We do. We have God's Word. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is no excuse for us. And we've been born again. We have His Spirit. We have His power. We have His promises. Let's go to number three here. When you need a promise in God's Word, are you confident that He will do what He said He would do? I'm going to show you a scripture in the next few minutes to prove that He will promise certain things in our life that He would do if we truly trust and believe Him by faith. Look at number four. If not, what causes you to doubt Him? There's people, even in the church. I came across a brother a couple of years ago, and he says, I don't think God does miracles today. I said, really? Really? I go, look at your life. You're a miracle. You were dead in sins and transgressions, and that God raised up. I go, were you listening to this? My goodness. Saints of God, we are to receive everything that God said in His Word. And whatever God said in His Word, He promised these things for us, that if we come to Him by faith. Now, number five, how does Noah's example motivate you to believe and trust in the Lord? What motivates you to trust God? Some of you right now are hurting. Some of you right now are hurting financially. Some of you lost your jobs. Some of you right now have disease in your body. Some of you right now have loved ones that have walked out of your life. Some of you right now are still addicted to things that God has once delivered you from. This is a time now to get right before Him. This is the time to say, oh God, help me, oh God. Help me walk uprightly before You. Help me to be like a Noah. Help me to be like an Enoch. Help me to be like what You have called me to be. Because You have called me out of darkness into Your marvelous light. You have called me to be a soldier for Christ. You have called me to be saved. To look into Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so just like in Noah's day, I showed you the door closed and people were clawing. Just imagine to get in to the ark. I want you to look at this right up here. God's door is about to close again. It's about to close again. And that door is salvation. You see, but I'm here to let you know, if you come into the ark of Christ by faith, if you receive Jesus by faith, that you repent of your sins and you cry out to God, God will then place you into the body of Christ. And as soon as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you will drink of the cup of acceptance that you are now are part of his bride. You see, the Bible says he's coming again for his bride. We are the bride of Christ. And by faith, we look for his appearing. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when you are in the ark and you are patiently waiting for the Lord to return, we have this promise in the Word of God. How many love promises? How many love guarantees? I do. Man, God said, if you are in Christ, behold, all things have become new. Praise God. And you become born again. You see, Jesus, he had to come at night to sit down with one of those Pharisees, Nicodemus. I call him Nick at Night. Yes, yeah, he snuck out. Why? He didn't want his peers to see him. But he had questions to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I know that God is with you, for I see all these miracles. And you know what? Jesus cut through the chase. He could have said, hey, let's have a cup of tea. Let's talk about the culture of this day. No, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And so, by faith, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we become what's called born again, born from above. You see, we were thrust out of our mother's womb naturally in the flesh. But then somewhere down the line in your life, God will come and pursue you, and then he will quicken you, and then you will make a about face and you'll start walking toward him. And then by faith, the miracle takes place. You become born again by faith. You repent of your sins. You receive his spirit. Now, when that takes place, now you're in the family of God. Now you're in the church of the living God. And so now we're going to close with these promises. And look what it says in 1 Thessalonians right here. You see, my friends, this hasn't taken place yet. It has not taken place yet. But I'm here to let you know that if you're a child of God, hang on to your seatbelts, because we're about to be taken out of here. Look what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ. Many of us have family members that already died in Christ, lest who have fallen asleep. Look at this. It says, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others that have no hope. But we have a living hope. We have a living hope. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at verse 15 right here. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord, say that with me, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with the shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now look at this. This is our promise now. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, comfort one another. Can I get an amen? We should be comforted knowing that God is going to promise to come and take us out before he has to bring judgment to this world. That's right. It ends in judgment. Noah's day ended in judgment. And we just read in scripture, this world will end once again in judgment. This is why God is raising us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so here's the key for you. and we close. And I'm going to invite those who are watching this telecast that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Paul, hallelujah, the Peter the apostle, wrote this in the book of Acts. Then Peter, look at this, Acts 2:38 through 39. This is a profound verse of scripture. If there's any promises in the Word of God, this is one that you could take to the bank. This is the one that you can say, oh God, you promised me this. That's right. We had a precious soul. Hallelujah. Last Sunday. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And this precious soul heard the Word of God. And guess what? That soul came and got baptized. Hallelujah. And the mother of this child cried out and said, God, thank you for your promises. Well, the promises are right here. Look what it says. Then Peter said unto them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. That's a promise, my friends. Maybe you're listening for the first time. I praise God for all my Facebook friends and family that log in and engaging in the chat room and commenting. But maybe you're there for the first time. Maybe you logged on to YouTube and maybe this is your first time saying that God, hearing for the first time that God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to give you a new hope, a new life, a new start, just like we read in the life of Noah. If that's you, I want to invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Just like Noah believed God that he would flood the earth. And just like we read that God is coming back for his church. I'm praying for you that God will prepare your heart to give you a brand new start. If you're listening, I want you to pray with me. Maybe you've never prayed before. I'm here to let you know that the prayer, it's not mystical. It's not magical. There's nothing phenomenal about the prayer. No, anyone can pray. I'm here to let you know it's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. You see, prayer is a tool that God, who lives in holiness, has given to sinful mankind here on earth to communicate with the Holy God. That's what prayer is. And so here's your opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Let's bow your hearts and your heads with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. My friends, maybe you just prayed this prayer and maybe you received the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Thank you, God. Listen, if you need prayer, if you need to reach out, just go to www.Acts 2-38-39. You can find us. You can reach out to us. We'll find you if you look for us. And we want to give you a Bible. We want to pray for you. And hopefully when we're released to go back to our churches, we could plug you right in. And you could keep growing in your new found faith. And so from all of us, from Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, we want to just say, we love you, and I personally miss all of you, and I can't wait to see you all again. So I hope you got blessed with this study this evening. I'm looking forward to Sunday morning's message to bring another message of hope, while we wait for this society to go back to its normalcy. And so may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. I love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.